I would also encourage you that when you're trying to observe and look at these signs that are taking place in our world right now and what the Lord is trying to show us, don't just listen to a video and go, that's what it is, okay? Even if they're using a lot of scripture, like I've said, make sure that the scripture lines up with what the Lord is, you know, what the sign is and what the Lord is saying. Does that make sense? Go to the Bible yourself, read it for yourself, okay? Here's another thing that the Lord is doing. Right now, because we are so close to his return, to the return of Jesus, this is scripturally based. The Lord said that the closer we get, the more evident the signs would be. We would see them more frequently, more evident. It's in the scripture. You can read it in Matthew 24, in Daniel chapter 9. You can read it in the book of Revelation, the entire book of Revelation. And we see these signs unfolding rapidly now. And things in the Word, the Lord told Daniel to seal up the prophecy of that book until the end. Okay? And so when you start to see things in the Word coming to life and like Holy Spirit's revealing things to you that you didn't see before, anybody experiencing that lately? Okay? 2-3 people? When you start to see that happening, you can know that the end is near. All right? Yeah. I can't skip over what I just said. How many of you have seen that lately? Raise your hand again. How many? Okay, more people. Thank you. I was getting nervous there for just a second. Because like 3 people raised their hand, and I'm like, you guys need to read the Word. Because the more you read it, I just gave you a scripture last week that the Lord revealed the true meaning of that scripture to me for the first time. I've been a minister for 30 years. Are you listening today? 30. And the Lord revealed to me just in the last couple of weeks the true meaning of that passage of Scripture. I thought for the longest time, and I was taught that when the Lord said, if you're out on the deck of your roof, don't go back into the house to pack. If you're out in the field, don't go back to the house. I always thought that meant you won't have time because his coming is that quick. That didn't mean that at all, because right after that he said, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. And so the Lord was saying, you're not going to have time to look back, but he's more than that, he was saying, if you are clinging to this life and to this world, and if you think this is what it's all about, you're going to miss the coming of the Lord. So you have to have your eyes glued to the heavens. You have to have your heart in the Word. You have to know the truth. If you know the truth will... Okay? So I'm just telling you that there's so much happening right now. It's unfolding every day. We see things happening in Jerusalem. I gave you some information last week, and that's not part of the message today. The message is actually keep watching and walking. That's the title of today's message, okay? But we see things that are happening in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount every day. This morning, I just saw something this morning that happened yesterday on the Temple Mount. The Third Temple, they are ready to rebuild this thing. They've been ready for years. But all the signs, everything's lining up for this to happen. The countries, the governments are lining up. There's about to be a peace treaty signed between all these nations that hate Israel and Israel. You understand that? That's about to happen. Do you know that that is scriptural? That's prophetic? That this will happen? This will actually happen. This treaty will be signed at the beginning of the tribulation period. So this tribulation, when you see these things happening, know that the return of the Lord is at hand. He's about to come in the clouds. Okay? So let's look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 24. Go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 24, verse 36 is where we're going to start today. All right, Matthew 24, 36. Jesus is speaking and he said, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. Or Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, that the homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming. He would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful and sensible servant is the one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his house, his other household servants, and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants and partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut that servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so I've got 2 points today. Point number one, keep watching. Keep watching. What are we to be watching? We're to watch for the Lord to return. We're to watch for Jesus to return. Let me ask you this. This is a quick little test. Where is he going to return to? That's not hard. It's earth, here. Simple. You guys are like, this is a trick question. Where is he returning to? Earth. But he's coming in the clouds with his angels and with the trumpet call, right? That's what the Bible says. So you need to know that. Some people don't know that. Is Jesus going to set foot on the earth for the rapture? No, he's not. He's coming in the clouds with the trumpet blast. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we, pat yourself, who are alive. Are you alive? Pat yourself if you're alive. We who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds. And forever we will be with the Lord. So let me just settle something right now. Jesus is coming. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to take, first the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them. When this rapture, harpazo, the catching away, the rescue mission of the church happens, it's going to happen in the flash, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and boom, just like that, we're all going to be caught up together in the clouds with Jesus. And the Bible says that we will forever be with the Lord. We don't have to worry that, well, we're going to get caught up in the clouds, and that, because there's some crazy teachings out there, and we'll get caught up in the clouds with Jesus, but then we're going to have to come back and we'll be tempted again and all that kind of stuff. No, the moment that we're caught up in the clouds with Jesus, it's over. How about I say it this way? It is finished. Amen? Amen? So you don't have to worry about all the nonsense that's out there. That's the truth of God's word. You can read it. Now, when that takes place, there will be many, many who are left behind. Okay? And that's not doomsaying. That's not gloom and doom. I'm speaking the word of God here. The Bible clearly tells us that broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Does that mean that we give up? No, I'm going to talk about the next part of this is keep walking, that we're supposed to do the work of the Lord until he comes. But I want you to understand this, that the enemy could try to bring grief upon you that is not godly grief. There is such thing as a godly grief and an unholy or ungodly grief. Okay, when it comes from the Lord, it's more of a conviction, maybe if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Or it's this, you know, we feel the heart of the Lord and we don't want anyone to perish. Because if you are true followers of Jesus Christ, then your heart is like his heart. Amen? And you don't want to see anyone perish. Not your best friends or your family, not your enemies. You don't want anyone to perish because you have the heart of the Lord and he doesn't want anyone to perish. However, the enemy would try to bring this unholy, ungodly grief upon us. And what's the purpose of this? I don't know all the purpose of it, but I can tell you this. One of the things the enemy would love for us to do is to step out of God's will into our own will. Right? I said this last week. I'm going to say it again this week. God, when he took Noah and he took him into the ark, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. When he took him into the ark and his family, he sealed the door shut. Okay? And I believe that God sealed the door shut because if had Noah sealed it, Noah would have unsealed it when he heard the pounding on the outside of the ark. Amen? And so God had to seal it shut because only God could keep that door shut. Did he want to? No. The Bible says God did not want to destroy the earth, but he had to because it was so corrupt. So the same thing's going to happen with the rapture and the second coming of Jesus. But the point is this, keep watching. Keep your eyes on the clouds. Keep your eyes, and not literally on the clouds. Well, maybe literally on the clouds, because that's where he is coming, literally, in the clouds. But keep your eyes on the Word of God, on the voice of the Holy Spirit. Keep your ears attentive to what he's speaking. Because I'll tell you this, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to his true followers in these last days. I've talked to many people who said, man, I feel it in my spirit. Anybody feel it in your spirit that the Lord is about to come? I mean, you can't help but know this, okay? But here's the thing. Verse 39 that we just read says, people didn't realize. And I'm here to again, double down on something I said last week and to crush this myth that has circulated through the church that we're not going to know. We can't know. It's just Jesus is coming, and when he comes, and we won't know. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and I'm going to show it to you from the Word of God. When Jesus himself said people didn't realize, which people was he talking about? He's talking about the corrupt world. This, remember, let's go back to the scripture and look at it again, verse 39. All right? Just before verse 39, verse 37, look at that. Would you put that up on the screen, verse 37? When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. All right? In Noah's day. Okay? And I think it's interesting that he says this right after he says, no one knows the day nor the hour. Not the angels in heaven, not the Son, only the Father knows. But then this is what Jesus says. But when the Son of Man returns, it's going to be like it was in Noah's day. And then he goes on to give us descriptions of what it's going to be like. And he gives us many, 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 many signs of what it will be like. Has anybody ever had a secret, like a surprise to give to someone, and you couldn't wait for them to know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is anybody like me, you're really bad at keeping that surprise? And you try to, you almost give like hints? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Craig, I got a present for you. You got to wait to open it till your birthday a month from now. When's your birthday? Oh. I'm late. I'm your belated birthday. You got to wait to open it. And I can't wait for you to open it. But you got to wait. My wife told me I couldn't tell you what it is. But it's blue. You know what I'm saying? I believe when I read this, and you see it for yourself when you read it, I believe that's, I mean, we have a good, good Father. Amen? The Lord's, Jesus said this. He said, if you, as earthly parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, even if you can't keep the secret, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who love him? So Father God is so excited about this. Jesus is so excited about this. Think about it. He is so excited about us returning to be with him in heaven. He's excited about coming to take us with him. And I believe Jesus, in his way, was saying, you know, no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son himself, only the Father knows. But when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's days. Now watch. In those days, verse 38, before the flood, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. Okay? People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man returns. Well, people didn't realize. Noah realized. Noah's family realized. You understand that Noah, Jesus used Noah and he used Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah as a representation of what will take place when the rapture happens. He said this is what it will be like. It will be like it was in the days of Noah. And so he uses that to show us the signs. Do you understand? So Noah and his family represented the remnant, the bride of Christ, the church, the pure and spotless bride. That's what they represented. The Bible says that no one on earth was righteous except for Noah and his family. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for the pure and spotless bride, the righteous church. He's only coming back for those who are ready. Amen? So he's going to come and he's going to snatch away those who are ready. And so Jesus said people didn't realize, he wasn't talking about you and me. He was talking about people who haven't given their lives to the Lord, who haven't surrendered to him, who aren't ready to meet him. They don't realize that destruction is coming. And they're going to go about their lives. They're going to go about their business. They're going to go to a wedding. It doesn't mean you can't go to a wedding. If somebody's like, man, no, Jesus is coming back, I can't go to a wedding next week. Because Jesus said that's what those people will do. No, you go to your weddings. You got a game night this Friday night. Have your game night. Still plan it. Have a good time. Party it up. The Christian way. Amen. Amen. Let's be yeah, with snacks. Snacks and water. If you can get drunk on water, go for it. But no, the Lord said, don't be drunk with wine, be drunk in the Spirit. Amen. That's what we need. We need more of that. I felt this morning that was about to happen. I felt some people were about to walk out of this place drunk in the Spirit, but we're still a little too reserved right now. Okay. So people didn't realize, all right? The second thing is this. Noah and his family were not caught off guard. When he says in verse 44, when least expected, they were not caught off guard at all. They expected it. Noah not only expected it, he prepared for it. He'd been building that ark for 100 years. He'd been preparing for the Lord to come for 100 years. So he expected the Lord to come. He wasn't caught off guard. When Jesus was talking about people didn't expect it, when least expected, he wasn't talking about you and me. I said last week that signs are for the purpose of informing us about what is coming ahead. And the Lord gives us signs so that we will know that he is coming. He's a good, good father. He's not going to leave us in the dark. He's going to tell us and warn us as much as he can. If you as earthly parents know that something is coming that is good for your children and you don't want them to miss it, aren't you going to give them every possible sign you can give them that it's coming? So that they will be prepared and ready for it so that they don't miss it? Yes. God not only warned Noah about what was coming, he had Noah preparing till the final days of this thing. Hebrews 11:7 says this, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about the things that had never happened before. Man, I could stop right there and preach. This rapture thing that's about to take place on this earth has never happened before. Right? And just like with Noah, he'd warned him about something that had never happened before. Rain fell from the sky for the first time in history and had never happened before. By faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. What does condemn the world mean? We'll look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and it says this. It says, and God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. And Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. When Hebrews 11:7 says Noah condemned the world, that's what it's talking about. Noah warned the world that God is going to judge the world. These people that lived on the world at that time, on the earth at that time, had all the time, they had all the warning they needed to get their hearts right with God. They could have done it. They could not say, God, you didn't prepare us, you didn't warn us, you didn't tell us. They had ample time to get their hearts right with the Lord, and they refused to do it. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. And it says, so God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Many people have twisted the words of Jesus to mean something that they don't. Many people have taken this chapter 24 in Matthew and many others and tried to twist them to mean something they don't. I believe that sometimes people do this because they have an ungodly motives. I believe sometimes people do this because they are false prophets sent by the enemy to confuse. But I believe sometimes people do it because they have been taught poorly themselves, or they are just, and I'm not criticizing past teachers. I remember many good pastors and preachers that I learned growing up under and learned under that just didn't understand or just didn't know or just didn't see the Word of God the right way at that moment in time. I know in my life, I have read the word, and I just gave you an example last week, but I have read the word many times in my life, and I thought it means this. And then I go 5 years down the road, and the Lord gives me more understanding of his word, and I go, oh, wow, it doesn't mean that at all. It means this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? So I wasn't doing that with ill intent. It was the understanding that I had in the moment in my relationship with the Lord, where I was maturity-wise in the Spirit of God. I'm more mature now than I was 30 years ago in the Spirit. I can tell you that. Amen? So I'm growing in the Lord, and the more I grow with him and in him, the more he reveals things to me. So I believe sometimes people do it with ill intent. I believe sometimes people do it just because they don't know any better. But the bottom line is this. Jesus was not, he was never saying, you won't know when I'm coming. He never was saying to you and to me, followers of Jesus, he was never saying, it will take you by surprise. He never said that. Look again at the parable that he gave. Because he not only said these things, but then he gave a parable. And I love this. Verse 45. Look at verse 45. A faithful, put that up there, would you? Verse 45, there we go. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household servants and feeding them. Next verse. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Go to the next one. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. Now, how many want to be counted with those people right there? Anybody want to be a faithful and good servant? Amen. You want to be in that camp, okay? Go to the next verse. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? Now, this is a very key scripture to what I'm trying to tell you about keep watching. What if the servant is evil? Notice how the Lord equates evil with the person is thinking, well, he won't be back for a while. He's not coming. You know what? Life goes on. I'm going to talk to you in a minute about scoffers who scoff and say, people have been saying that for thousands of years, right? So go to the next scripture. One more. And he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk. Keep going. The master will return, watch, unannounced and unexpected. He didn't say that about the first servant. He didn't say that about the faithful servant, did he? He said that about the servant who was evil and who was thinking, he won't be coming back for a long time. I'm trying to show you that Jesus wasn't telling us as followers that his coming is going to be unannounced and unexpected. As followers, so if to the one who is evil, it's going to be unannounced and unexpected, then the opposite is true of followers of Jesus. Amen? When he comes back, we will know it. The signs will be evident. They will be everywhere. Everything that he said in his word, all the signs that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when he said there will be perilous times in the last days, anybody know we're in perilous times right now? We're there. Okay? Check. Okay? And all the other things that I gave you last week, I don't have time to go into that. If you didn't see last week's message, you can go on our YouTube channel and watch it. It's about an hour and a half long, but stick with it because there's a lot of signs that I give that are taking place right now. So I want you to understand that it's our job, it's our responsibility to keep watching, to pay attention. Look one more scripture I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to move on to point number two. Matthew 24, 33. So this is before the scriptures that I just read, just four verses before where I started. Watch this. Jesus is saying, in the same way, when you see all of these things, what things? The signs. He gave a bunch of signs. He said, when you see all of these things, say those three words with me. You can know. Look at somebody next to you. Say, you can know. After everything I've just said, if there's any doubt, there you go. In the same way, when you see all of these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. I mean, he is right there. He's right there. Any second now, and I really believe that, any second now, the Lord's going to turn to him and say, go get him. And Jesus is going to come as fast and as swiftly as he said he would. And we're going to be going home. Anybody ready for that? Say amen. 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 All right, point number two, keep walking. Every time I say that, I think of that old Christmas movie. You remember the old claymation movies, Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Rudolph the Red-Nosed? Anybody remember those? Keep walking. Keep walking, and you'll walk across the floor. Keep walking. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Da, da, da. Front of the other. There you go. Oh, we're off the rails now. I don't know why, but that just stuck in there. Genesis chapters 6 and 7 records Noah building the ark and working right up to the time that his family entered the ark. And that's what I want to talk about this. So we'll keep watching. And then keep walking, okay? So I know that there are probably many people in this place like me that you can't, you know, rub your head and pat your belly and chew gum at the same time, all right? But we really need to try to keep watching and walking at the same time, all right? It's important. An interesting point, just side note for a second before I finish this thought. God had Noah and his family enter the ark, but waited 7 days to destroy the earth. If you read in Genesis 6 and 7, I encourage you to go read that. He had them enter the ark, and then he shut the door, and then he had them wait there in the ark for 7 days before he destroyed the earth with flood, with water, okay? Noah, and like I said earlier, they were the only righteous ones left. So again, this is a picture of the rapture. What's God going to do? He's going, and this is a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture, which I strongly believe in, and this is another evidence of that. He's going to remove his righteous church, the harpazo, the rapture, the snatching away, the rescue mission. He's going to remove us, and he's going to take us to heaven, okay, with him for 7 years. Well, and at the end of that seven-year period of 7 days for Noah, 7 years, seven, it's still the same, okay? They can be one and the same, and he's going to destroy the earth with fire at the end of that 7 years, the Bible says. So think about that. He took Noah and his family and sealed them in the ark and then waited 7 days before he destroyed the earth with water. But the point is this. Noah worked up until the time it was time to enter the ark. And here's what happened when Noah was working on the ark. He was worked on the ark for 100 years. God gave him everything that he needed to do. He gave him all the instructions, all the measurements, all the things that were laid out for him. And Noah worked, and he went about the Father's business knowing the close. Think about this. He's building the ark. So as he's building it by God's instructions, don't you think that Noah knew when he was getting close to the end? Right? I mean, I don't know about you. I've never worked on anything for 100 years. I don't think anybody in this place has except for Bill Forbes. How many of you know that's going to come every service? Like, I may only have a few more services to get those jokes in before Jesus comes. So I'm going to make the most of it. But, I mean, I get tired working on something for a couple hours. you know, hammering and screwing and nailing all that stuff. Anybody, I get tired after a couple hours. I'm just like, I don't know how these people build houses. You know, I would be good. Like, I'd have one corner of the house would look great, and then I'd get bored, and you, no telling what the rest of that house would look like. Boards going like this and holes everywhere. That's good enough. But Noah's working on this thing, and he's working hard, and you know that he's like, man, I've been working 100 years. He's on year 99, day 360. And he's like, I got like 7 boards left, and I'm done with this thing. And so he worked right up until the time that the Lord told him to go into the ark. He followed the Lord's instructions. But while he is doing this, the Bible clearly tells us that in the last days, scoffers would come. And we know that when Noah was doing this, that he probably got laughed at, scoffed at. People probably camped out, right? You know, I mean, he was the laughingstock of the world, the entire world. He's building this massive boat out in the desert, saying that something insane like this rain is this rain is this this water is going to fall from the skies. It's never happened before. Like, are you insane? That's not how it works. Man, I hope you feel this today. That's not how it works. You know, the waters always come up from the ground to water all the vegetation. It's never fallen from the sky. What are you talking about, water falling from the sky? You're insane, and you're building this big boat out here in the desert. So people had to be camped out laughing at him, mocking him, scoffing him, saying terrible things about Noah and his family. What did Noah do? He kept walking. He kept building the ark. He kept going. He didn't respond. Listen, I've said this before many times. If you try to respond to all the criticism out there about you, it's going to be a miserable life. You know? If I tried to respond to everybody that criticized me and what I teach and what I preach and how I live my life, it'd be miserable. And here's another thing. If you live by other people's praise, you're going to die by their criticism. So you just can't live that way. The only person you need to please is the Lord God himself. That's it. Just please him. Just follow him. Do what he's telling you to do. It may seem crazy to other people. In fact, I promise you, it will seem crazy at some point to other people. There are people who think I'm an absolute fanatic. I can't worry about what people think. I got to keep walking. I got to keep doing what the Lord's told me to do. I want to be that faithful servant who was found feeding his servants when he returns. Amen? I want to be that servant. When the Lord comes back, I want him to say, Bill, you did a good job. You did a good job. You know? I want that. I want to hear that from the Lord. I don't want to hear, man, why did you hold back? Why did you not do what I told you to do? What am I going to say? Lord, I was afraid. Can you imagine standing before the creator of the universe, the creator of all things? Can you imagine standing before him and saying, I was afraid? I promise you at that moment we're going to be going, what were we afraid of? When we see him and know that he's with us and he's in us and he's for us and he goes before us and he's behind us and he's all around us, when we see him, we're going to be going, man, what were we ever afraid about? Right? Yeah. So Noah's like, let him laugh. I know I got a word from the Lord. I know what's about to come, and I know I got to continue this. So he continued on, and he didn't let anything deter him. He kept walking. I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And, Kara, if you'll come. And I'm going to read this chapter. It's 18 verses, so I'm going to read this chapter. But this pretty much sums it up. Everything that I'm talking about today, it's in this chapter. All right? So I want you to do something with me. I'm going to read it to you today. I'm going to make a couple comments. Then we're going to receive communion together as we close the service today. But I want you to Would you guys make a commitment today? Would you go home at some point before the end of this day? How many of you will say, I'll read this again? How many will do that, commit to that? It's 18 verses. Come on, can I see 100% hands up here? Can you do the 18 verses? All right, good, good. You committed. Saw those hands. Because I'm going to share some things with you, but I want you to go home and I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to look at it. I want you to get in a quiet place just for a few minutes. It'll take you 10 minutes to really read through this. But if you want to chew on it a little while, it might take you a little bit longer, but watch this. This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From the beginning, from before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens long ago, and by the word of his command, he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. I'm just going to stop right here and say this about this. Scoffers will come. I said that earlier. I can't tell you how important it is to understand what I'm trying to convey to you today. That it's going to happen. If you love people like the Lord loves people, it's our obligation to tell them Jesus is about to come. Amen? It's not just my job. Are you listening? I know there are people that say, oh, you're the pastor. It's not just my job. You have to stand before him yourself and give an account for yourself. So you can't tell him, I didn't tell you that one either. You got to give an account for yourself. And he's going to ask you, did you warn people? Did you tell people? Actually, he's not even going to ask you. He's going to know. And you'll know. I'm thinking of people that I need to give a phone call to. In fact, Kim and I were just talking about this the other day. Some people I need to give a phone call to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody feel the Holy Spirit leading you to do that? There's some people you need to call. And you need to let Holy Spirit give you the courage to get on the phone with them and say, I love you. And I just want you to know that Jesus is about to come. God is about to send him. It's about to happen. And I just want to ask you, are you ready? Is your heart ready? And they may laugh at you or they may scoff. You know, scoff is like, man, Bill, what are you calling me for? You know, they may get offended. And, yeah, of course I'm ready. Why are you calling me? That's a sign. Amen? And you just need to trust the Lord that when they scoff, whatever they do, trust the Lord that you planted the seed and he will bring that seed to fruition. Amen? Just trust him. But it's our job to do that. And I'll tell you this, I've had people, I'm just going to say this because I want you to understand this and why I'm so adamant about this. I've had people in our church, they don't attend here anymore, but I had people just 2 years ago tell me, you need to stop talking about the rapture. You need to stop talking about Jesus coming because you're scaring people. And I told that person, I said, I'm never going to stop talking about this. And this person said to me, well, I've been hearing this since I was a kid in church. They've been talking about this for years. I said, you understand that scripture right there that you just said, the Bible actually says that word for word, that scoffers will come and say, ever since I can remember, they've been talking about Jesus coming. You just said those words. Now, I could tell you the conversation did not go well after that. And it breaks my heart because I don't want to have those kind of conversations with people. Do you? But I have to do what the Lord's told me to do. So They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, verse 7, and by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really slow in keeping his promise, as some people think. I'm going to stop right there and tell you. Last week, I told you that there's a scripture in Hosea chapter 6 that says, on the second day, the Lord will raise us up, restore us. This is speaking about Israel. And on the third day, he will raise us up so that we may live before him. This prophetic scripture in Hosea is about Israel being restored in 1948 as a nation after 2,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. So day one was 0 to 1,000 years. Day two was 1,000 years to 2,000. In the evening or afternoon of day two, Israel was restored to a nation. And that same scripture says that on the third day, the Lord will raise us up. That's the year 2000 on. On the third day, the Lord will raise us up. That's the rapture. Take us to be with him. And so the Lord is warning us through his word. And Jesus is telling us here, remember this, 1,000 days, a year is like 1,000 days, and 1,000 days like a year. Verse 9, the Lord isn't really slow in keeping his promise, as some of you think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens, remember, that's to those who aren't ready. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will be disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found as deserved judgment. Verse 11, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Watch, verse 12, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Again, this is a scripture to tell us, quit clinging to this life. Look forward to the day of Jesus' return and hurry it along. We should be encouraging each other. We should be saying, aren't you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We got to encourage one another with this. All right? I promise you, but don't just take my word for it. Read it in the Word of God. I promise you, there are better things ahead for us. What we're leaving behind is corrupted. It needs to be left behind. Amen? And what we're going to is so much better. So don't look back like Lot's wife. Look forward to what Jesus is about to do. It says, on that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. He has promised a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom that God gave him. Speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture, and this will result in their destruction. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So you're going to go home today at some point after you eat, after you take a nap, after you go to work, whatever you do. You're going to pull this scripture back out and read it again. And maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you to read it again. Because I promise you, everything we need to hear about his coming is right there. Everything we need to know is right there. That chapter prepares us for this. So keep watching and keep walking. And if we do that, we'll be ready.